welcome everybody. Thank God for all of you. And it's wonderful to be back. I've been up in Maine, wherever that is. Praise God. Nice people up there. I'm glad they're up there. No, they're nice people. Serious lack of Italians in Maine. Just in case you don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, then migrate to Maine and teach them how to cook. Did I just say that? I'm sorry. No, I thank God for New York. I thank God for the culture we live in and for our community. Very, very thankful for everything. And so I want to, what's the time? Oh, we got some time. I want to give thanks for each and every one of you. Really appreciated the worship tonight. I just loved Eternal Energy, the, what do we call it? Where's Crystal? Where is she? What? Again? Sign worship, but you said sign drama, did you? Is that what you said? That sounds beautiful. It was just, didn't you appreciate that tonight? I thank God that God's not limited in the way of expressing our worship to him. And so anyway, I wanted to speak, and we've been talking, many of the other folks were preaching the last few weeks, so I hope they did a good job. Did they do any good, the old folks over here? You sure? I heard they did pretty good. And so this week, we've been talking about the kingdom this month. And this week, I wanted to talk about, it's almost more of a question. The question is, what is your song? Does the kingdom have a song? Who's been watching the Olympics the last couple of weeks? Anybody really been into it? I don't have a TV at home, so the people we stayed with, they were Kiwis, great people. Love rugby, obviously, the holy game. And we watched a lot of Olympics. And you know, you think about the Olympics, it's really quite a weird collection of sport. And some of it, I even struggle with calling it sport. You know, I mean, I saw some ladies in the swimming pool this week. I don't know what to call it, but they were just doing this all the time. I thought, God, and they were so stinking scary. They even did their makeup, like, looked like dragons, a couple of them. I thought, well, you don't have to put too much makeup on, actually, but... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, you know, I thought, is that sport? And then you do the boxing, you know, and you think, ah, that's more like it. Now, did you hear about that guy today from Cuba who got disqualified in the Taekwondo and kicked the ref in the face? Yeah, kicked the ref, put stitches. He had to have stitches in his mouth. And, you know, they're talking about obviously banning him for life. But, I mean, you know, I know the Brits are a bit overboard on good sportsmanship, but that's a bit much, isn't it? And then, you know, you've got running and swimming and all that stuff. And then, you know, you've got the girls and their little... Did you see the ones with their little... So pretty. That's a sport. Okay, it's a sport. I don't want to argue. And after it all, you try to put it all together, you know. And the opening ceremony. Did you see the opening ceremony? Phenomenal. Those guys on the drums and all that. God, it was mind-blowing, you know. And just to buy it, you know, the people are... You know, this is a real shot in the arm for the Chinese people, and they're really promoting China. What a great country. You know, even some politicians are saying that. And I thought it was interesting because of the controversial issue of that one girl that won the gold medal on the high and low bars. And they said, it's not a controversial issue in China because nobody knows about it because it's censored. Nobody knows about it. A great country. They censor all that stuff, you know. So anyway, okay, we'll keep it at that. All I can say is God bless America. And that, I'm saying that on purpose because, you know, many times this week I've seen our flag raised. I mean, how can you not like Michael Phelps? How can you not enjoy a guy that has won 14 gold medals in two Olympics? Won 8 gold medals in one championship. Nobody's ever done that before. Will they ever do it again? I don't know. And yet there was... In the midst of it all, though, I like the girls, because when the girls win a medal, they normally cry when they're on the podium, you know, and I like that bit, don't you? And I thought about this. I thought, what is it? You know, I love our... wrong one. I love our flag. I really do. I think our flag is awesome. And, you know, when they start raising it up in the Olympics, you know, it just feels... Do you feel good? I really like it. And sometimes you ever drive up the 28, they've got that huge... You know, there's more people on this side than that side are fully. All like, hang on, it's not synchronized preaching. All you like that came in, you're sitting this side. I don't care what you want, sit this side to balance it out a bit. Thanks. Synchronized congregation. Anyway, you go out the 28th. You ever notice that huge flag sometimes? I don't even know what business is it, but it's our flag. And I love it. I always think, I wonder if they'll let me have that when it gets old, you know, so I can put it on the side of the church or something. But, you know, what is it when they win that gold medal and they put it around their neck, it also does something for me. Does it do something for you? I mean, I'm not going to get any, you know, sponsor from Visa or Coca-Cola or whoever else was doing it. Johnson & Johnson, they had a few cool ads. But then when they start the national anthem, it's something, I love the flag. But I see the flag almost every day. And you see it, that's, you know. But when that national anthem starts, does something happen inside you, or is it just me? Is it just because I'm an American by choice? Or is it something that I can identify with this guy, you know, Michael Phelps, he's 6'4", and he just swam this one by a 1/100th of a second, and yet he stands on the podium and suddenly something inside of me goes, oh, that's a piece of me, that, you know. I get a piece of that action. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can identify with that man, and I can identify with that woman, and I can identify with that team, not just because of the flag, but more, in all honesty, because of the anthem. Because of the sound. And you realize that nothing in this life, almost nothing, in this life is ever without sound, without a song. You can't even get in an elevator without there being some music. It's lousy, but it's still music. You know, we even label it. Whoa, what's that, elevator music? You know, we've even got a place to put that kind of music, you know. And so you think about this. And so my question today is, what is your song? What is your song? What is that way that you express your identity? And so, have you ever seen a movie without music? Probably not. I don't think I have. Even to the degree that, if you think about it, if you go and see a horror movie, if there was no music, dun dun, dun dun, dun 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 dun. Everybody begins to go down. Oh, I feel teeth. You know what I'm saying? Or Psycho, you remember that? And also, everybody jumps, you know. They won't take a shower for another 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sorry about the noise. I thought it was actually quite good. I mean, it's all spontaneous. I don't have a script writer, believe it or not. They're still on strike. Anyway. So what is your song? And how important is your song? And I think that we probably take music way too lightly. A, most of us are pathetically bad at it. You know, really, most of us, thank God for, you know, some people complain about the noise. I thank God for the noise, so I don't have to hear you lot sing, you know. But, no, some of us can sing pretty lousy. And who cares? So song, what is your song? And I think about the national anthem, and just bear with me in a little folly with this thought, because I've been thinking about this, like all through the Olympics. And then I think about our national anthem. Oh, say can you see? It's a stinking hard song to sing for starting it. By the dawn's early light. Now, what's it singing about? So I'm thinking, okay, what are they singing about? They're singing about a battle. They're singing about a battle that really wasn't much of a battle anyway. If you know the history of the battle, they kind of sailed in the harbor and bombarded the fort and left. There was no real victory. There was no real defeat. It was just like some young man decided I'll write about this. Well, I've been watching the people in the Olympics, and you know, nobody sang it up until the last line. The land of the free, which is normally where my voice goes all over the place, which is why it should be louder. And the home of the... Gentlemen, start your engines. Isn't that how it ends? And so think about this. I can't really identify with that song, because it's something that happened 250 years ago. I wasn't there. My ancestors were. They were the ones firing. Anyway, that's not the point. with all them shots, they missed the flag. Gee. So I'm thinking about it. The only part of that song that I actually can identify with is that it's the land of the free and the home of the brave. Nothing else. Do you ever think about that? As much as I love that song, and it kind of unites us, how does it actually unite us? What, if you think about it, because I think about everything I sing. Like these songs, you know, Sweetly Broken, you know, Draw Me to My Knees. You know, I don't sing that. Instead of singing Draw Me to My Knees, I sing So Gently, because I'm not on my knees, therefore I'm not going to sing it. Who's clicking pens? Oh, just wondered. Did you hear what I just said? See, when I sing a song, I can't sing what I'm not doing. I can't sing it. I can't allow words to come out of my mouth in a song that my actions are not agreeing with. So I'm always changing words of songs. You know, the other song we just sung today, though my world may fall, I'll never let you. I don't sing that. I sing, though this world will fall, I'll never let you go. Not that we can promise that, because he has to hold on to us, but that's not the point. So the reason I'm saying that is, do we really value what is coming out of our mouth in the form of song? Or are we just singing because it's part of our custom, part of our tradition, part of our churchianity, part of our Christianity, part of our culture? Or are we really thinking about it? And are we really making sure that this song is my song, not just a song? And I think it's important that we make songs ours. It's important. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts here about, if you know the British National Anthem, you guys use it for something else. I forget what song it is in America. But it's called God Save the Queen. It's called what?
God Bless America.
Right. So it's called God Save the Queen. They've had it for centuries. It used to be God Save the King. Really? And it'll be God Save the King again when the Queen dies and Big Ears gets in. So... But at least there won't be 9 months of elections. That's the good news. She dies, he's in, you know. The Queen's dead, God Save the King. Oh, that was quick. I need to go to Maine more often. I'm kind of enjoying myself. Anyway. The whole song, the whole British national anthem is about her. God save our gracious Queen, God save our, send her victorious. Well, what about the other 58 million of us? You know, okay, that's our national anthem. How come you're the only one we're singing about, lady? You get my drift? And I kind of object to that. What kind of a national anthem sings about one person and all the commoners don't count, you know? So, this is why I can't sleep at night. I think about these things. All right, I guess I just want to laugh a lot tonight. I want to read some scriptures. Now, how many of us, I don't want to see a show of hands, because I don't want to feel like I'm picking any of you. But how many of us listen to oldies stations? How many of us listen to these things as we're driving along, right? Even kids today, who doesn't know? I mean, my daughters know every word of every song I've ever heard. Yeah, so in other words, songs I've heard 40 years before they were born, they know the words better than me. I thought, come on, mate, then, you know, there's no such thing as oldies these days. There's just, like, lots of music, right? And if you think about this, some... Let me say this about... There is sacred music. There's no question this. The stuff we sing here, it's sacred music. He's singing about our God, His majesty, His kingdom, His glory, His beauty. Everything about it is describing Him in detail. Who He is, what He does, who we are in Him. We sing all this. That is sacred music. And we mustn't forget that. Because sacred music is important. It's all through the Bible. We'll be singing sacred music in heaven. The angels sing sacred music to God. And we'll be singing for eternity. So sacred music is good. And then there's secular music. There's music that's really like nondescript. It's not good, bad, or indifferent, you know. A lot of churches used to say, oh, you can't listen to that music. That worldly music. Well, there's nothing sacred about happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, the worst song I've ever heard. Happy birthday to you. I hate that song, mate, with a passion, but it's the most popular song in the world. So what are you going to do? I can't change the world. But that is not a demonic song. It's just like, bleh. So there's sacred music, and then there's secular music. You know, even some Beatles music, because obviously that was my era, you know, help. I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know, I need someone, help. No, you could easily sing that to God. When I was younger, about younger as you lot here, I never needed anybody's help in any way, right? Now those days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. You lot wait. I'm singing this song to you lot now, prophetically. You know, that's not a bad song. I want to hold your hand. Where were you the first time they appeared on Ed Sullivan Show? Who remembers? Kids, did you see that? Hey? Where was you when Kennedy died, Princess Diane died, and the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show? It's amazing how it affects our lives, how it affects our world, how John Lennon once said, we are more popular than Jesus Christ. It's amazing how music affects our lives. And we need to think about it. Does the kingdom have a song? Do you have a song? There are some really ungodly songs out there. Sometimes you don't take me long to get past the rap stations. But there's a whole lot of words beginning with PH in that. Think about that. If you've ever know what fat farm is. But anyway, it's not the point. So, there's some definite evil music out that we should never be listening to. And then there's other music that I'm really thinking about, like, I never felt more like singing the blues. How about that other one? I love that one. I'm lying on my back. What was it? I got tears in my ears. Remember that one? From laying on my back, crying my eyes out over you. Isn't that a great song? Tears in your ears. You feel like slapping them and say, get up, misery guts. But I want to say something. We probably all, a few exceptions, listen to too much bad music. We probably all listen to probably too much bad music. And we should consider this. Because does the kingdom have a song? That's my point. Does the kingdom have a song? Now, I want to talk a little bit. You may remember, do you remember the kingdom of God is likened very much to the story of Exodus? So here we have the children of Israel went into slavery for 430 years. Then they cried out, God, get us out of this. This is terrible. So God raised up a murderer, an ex-con, Moses, and brought him in. Moses had an encounter with God. Moses came into Egypt, said, God sent me, let my people go. Ah, right, sure. Then the battle started, right? First, the battle started in the spirit. The battle in the spirit was that, first of all, we know all the plagues, the blood and the frogs and the lice and the everything else, right? And then the deliverance came, the indication of the blood of Jesus by putting the blood on the doorpost and the sacrifice of the lamb. The people escape, they get set free, they're out. And then there's a natural battle, do you remember? At the Red Sea. Now, at the Red Sea, it's a very important thing because that's where the song started. And at the Red Sea, Moses says, stand still and show you the salvation of your God. God says to Moses, stop hanging around, do something. Get your stick, point it to the sea. The sea opens, they walk across on dry land. They get to the other side and boom, God drowns all of the Egyptians. Then you may not all know this, but in the book of Exodus, it's very clear Moses sang a song. And the song lasted a whole chapter. How many of you could sing it? I couldn't. The whole song. Then when he shut up, Miriam sang a song. Do you remember that part? It said she grabbed a timbrel, which is a pre-Pentecostal tambourine. Yes, there was pre-Pentecostals. They were called Jews. And she grabbed a tambourine and started going nuts. And she sang a song. Do you remember it? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. That was the end of it. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Shall we try it? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Ventriloquist, join in. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. One more time, for you aren't doing it. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Now that is what we are missing again in our lives today. When you want to start praising God, what do you sing? You see, I've been noticing recently, the last several years, people don't walk around singing praises to God as much as we used to. Because the songs are too long. They're Moses' songs. They're better. But they're so long, we're not singing them. What do you sing in the shower? My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want it. We don't do it, do we? Come on, help me. Help me. So what are you singing in the shower these days? What are you singing when you're not sure what's going on in your life? What is coming out of your mouth every day in praise to God? See, while you're driving to work, you got your CD, you put your CD on, and then you sing to the CD. Okay, so in a CD-less world, if that's a word, in a CD-less world, you're not praising outside of the weekend. That's dangerous. It's a dangerous situation. You see, we've got Moses' song, we need Miriam's song as well. Not either or, both and. So I want to ask you a question. What is your song? What is the song you are singing to the Lord? What is it that's coming out of your mouth when doubt begins to come in your mind? Now, I'm going to just tell you a couple of things. Are you still with me? Are you sure now? Okay, let's go to a couple of quick scriptures. I want to go to 1 John for a minute. The epistle of John, 1 John. Car alarm, if it's yours, get going. Survey said. Ready. 1 John chapter 2 talks about writing to children, young men and fathers. And then he goes on in verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. Are we okay here? Do not love the world or the things of the world. How many of us are still listening to the songs of this world? Why is there so much unrest all of a sudden? There's only one car alarm. Isaac, get back to your mother. I'll cuddle you later. I need you to listen to this. Let me read it again. You ready? Do not love the world or the things in this world. How many of us are listening to worldly music? And we love it. It's an interesting thought, don't you think? We're all doing it. And yet the scripture's clear. It says, do not love this world or the things of this world. In fact, in the epistle of James, let me read this to you. This is really challenging me. You don't have to listen. I'm talking to myself. But listen to what James says. Old Jim. That Jim, he's tough, man, I tell you. Listen to the way he puts it. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That's tough, isn't it? And then he says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do not love the world. The number one influence in the world, I think, is music. It influences your mood. We even have mood music, as well as elevator music. They're both similar. Terrible. Nothing, you can't see a TV program, a movie. There's nothing in this world that doesn't have music with it. How many of you, when there's a song, suddenly you're back there? Well, especially if you've ever had a heartbreak as a young person, and then a song comes on, something melancholic, you know, Elton John or something just as dreary. Daniel, my brother, you were. You see what I'm saying? And we're all there. It's in us all. And I'm thinking, how much of that is the love of this world? And how much do we love it? And how much should we stop loving it? Just a question. I'm not judging anybody, because I realize how much, when I'm driving down the road, I've got music on that ain't very kosher. You know what I'm saying? But what I want to carry on with this thought. Paul said to Romans, in Romans 12, he said, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. When I first got saved, almost every song I sung was pure scripture. Pure scripture. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And I sung that song until one day I got it. I thought, my God, it isn't externalism. It isn't what I do. It's by acknowledging every good thing which is here. Oh, my God! And all externalism died in my life from that one verse that I've been singing. Now, I want to encourage you to think about some of the things we're singing. And does the kingdom have a song? So, I don't want to overcomplicate this. Do any of you remember the story of Jumping Jehoshaphat? Do you remember that story? If you want Bible reference, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Somebody say it. Now everybody say it. See, faith comes by hearing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What happened is Jumping Jehoshaphat is being attacked by three kings. And what happened is he gathered together and he was afraid. Right? There's no, it's no good saying, oh, that Jehoshaphat's a tough dude. No, he wasn't. He was the same as the rest of us, man. Scared. And so what happened is they gathered together and they come before God, and a prophet spoke and said, don't be afraid. The battle is the Lord's. This is what you got to do. What? Send the singers and the praisers out before the army. What? You see, when Miriam and Moses did it, they started praising God after the Egyptians were drowned. Now, anybody can do that. Come on. I can sing unto the Lord because they're all stinking dead. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm full of faith. Now I'm the tough guy. So, does faith have a song? All right, here we go. Getting back to 1 John, if you'll follow me. I'm reading from the New King James, as I often do. 1 John 5. Beginning verse 1, if you are reading from an old King James. Okay, Vaughan, wasn't that funny? Yes, it was. Well, I didn't think it was that funny. Well, I thought it was brilliant. Get on with it. Okay. I'm schizophrenic. Yeah, and so am I. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's simple. We all believe? Good. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Bit complicated, let's go past that. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. For his commandments aren't burdensome. There you go. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Ah, remember that? Do not be an enemy of this world. Do not be a friend of this world. We have to overcome this world. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore, we have to overcome this world. Every one of us. No exceptions. It's not that hard. Hold on. Verse 4 again. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, that ain't hard. I believe that. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Okay? So does the kingdom have a song? Anybody can praise God when you've got the gold medal around your neck. Can you praise God when you're on the plane going to Beijing? Because that's faith. Once you've got the gold medal around your neck, there is no faith. It's a finished result. There it is. So faith never applauds the finished work. Faith only applauds the work that has to be achieved beforehand. Simple? So in other words, it takes me no faith to say, I'm going to be in Kingston, New York on Saturday night. Here I am. Praise God. No. No. Just because the Egyptians are drowned, why are you now praising God? You should have praised God before the Red Sea opened. That's faith. Are we okay? So are we praising God before the battle is over? And that is faith. So therefore, the only way to bring the victory of God, because the victory of God is future. Everybody's looking at the guy walking in. We'll wait. The victory of God is in the future. His kingdom is in the future. His kingdom, to bring me victory today, I have to bring his kingdom here now. And what's the best way to start? Do you remember when Moses died? Joshua took charge because he was the general. Then when Joshua died, what happened? It said, the children of Israel came before God. There was no Joshua anymore. There were the children of Israel came before God. And then they inquired of God and said, what should we do? And God said, send Judah first. Do you remember that? One of the simplest instructions that has ever happened in the Bible, when God said to the children of Israel that hadn't finished taking the land yet, send Judah first. What does Judah mean? What does Judah mean? What does Judah mean? That's getting close. You see, what happens is we are losing the voice of victory in the church. We need the voice of victory before the sea opens, not after the Egyptians are drowned. So therefore, when you're not feeling well, where's your voice of victory? When you can't pay your bills, where's your voice of victory? When your family's in a mess, where's your voice of victory? This is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. There's a battle coming against me, Lord. My name's Jehoshaphat. I'm one of your men. Help me, Lord. What am I going to do? There's three armies. Their family's sick. We can't pay our bills. And there's trouble in my marriage. What should we do? Start praising. That's what you start doing. You start the victory song. You start overcoming this world by having a song in your mouth. See, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits. Did you hear me? Did God turn up tonight? Because we were shaking hands, hugging necks, kissing? No. Inhabited the praises of his people. So when God turns up, what happens? Any of you feel miserable while we were worshiping tonight? Or did you feel the victory? Did you have the victory while we were in the presence of God? Did you feel better than when you probably came in the church? Did you feel more alive, more alert, more ready, more mentally alert, more, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, why? Because the victory had come with the song. There is no quicker way for you to get victory in your life than by praising God. No quicker way. There's a more permanent way. That is to know what the word says. But the quickest way you will ever, the scripture says that praising God binds the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's what it says. The Bible says praise puts his hand in the neck of the enemy. That's what praise does. Praise defeats the enemy while they're coming at you, not after they're already buried in the Red Sea. So my question is, what is your song? Do you have a praise song? Is there something about you that's praise? Something about you that not when we're all together and there's 100 of us or 200 of us or whatever, or there's a small group and somebody's skillfully playing the guitar. I'm talking about when you're on your own and you're under attack. Do you have a song in your mouth like Miriam did? Do you have a song in your mouth like Jumping Jehoshaphat said? Send the singers and the praisers before the army. Imagine that. What? President Bush here. Oh, yeah. What do you want? We're going to attack Iraq. Okay. What do you want me to do? I want you to walk in front of the tank singing. Sorry, I thought you said you wanted me to walk in front of the tank singing. Yeah, I want you to walk in front of the tank singing. All right. In your dreams. You see, that's what God's saying. You got a problem in your life? Where's your victory song? You have problems in your marriage? Where's your victory song? You got problems in your body? Where's your victory song? You got problems in your finances? Where's your victory song? If you don't have a victory song, you can't be in faith. You're only waiting for the circumstances to change, for the Egyptians to be buried. Then you're going to praise God. No faith, no victory, no guarantee the Egyptians will be buried because the covenant's changed. So I want to encourage you guys. Start thinking about praise. I don't care how lousy your voice is. I mean, I can sing as bad as anybody. Occasionally, I sing in tune. But I want you to begin to think, what is the song in your mouth? Do you have a song? Do you have a praise song? I was just singing today. I'm trying to wrap this up. When Wendy and I started working with Pastor Ernie Fink in 1995, 1996, money was tight, things were tough. We used to do some cleaning, Wendy and I, and I hated it. I hated it. I used to vacuum. Oh, God, I hated vacuuming. Did I tell you? That's the wrong word. What's the right word? Anyway, I used to hate vacuuming, but do you know what? I used to sing, because nobody could hear me, because it was like the music was going, bit like Dumb and Dumber, you remember that? Anyway, what's the most annoying sound? Vaughn preaching. Oh, all right. And in the midst of the, I'll be going, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. God, I hate vacuuming, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. But I don't vacuum anymore. So what are you lot laughing at? Because he set me free. Wasn't a thesis that set me free. It was a stinking repetitive song giving thanks to Jesus for his victory before it came. That's it. Now we're getting it. So yes, wonderful people, God definitely has a victory song. And it's something that you have to sing. It is not Elaine's responsibility, or Bob, or Daniel, or any of the other guys and girls that are doing the worship. It's your responsibility. And if you don't have a song in your mouth, when a push comes to a shove and you're under attack, what weapon are you going to use? Are you going to just have tears in your ears? Or are you going to be glad Jesus set you free? There's your choice, saints. Let's stand up and give the Lord a big thank you offering. Let's give him a big, praise for setting us free. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord. Saints, I'm going to give thanks for each and every one of you. Please, let me remind you in closing of this one thought about praise. Praise blesses God. Would you agree? Amen. Would you agree? Amen. If he inhabits the praise of his people, he must be pleased with it. So isn't that a good reason to praise? Two, praise blesses us. I mean, I'm so thankful. Tonight, I'm standing over there and the girls were doing their signing and the music, the Sweetly Broken. I'm looking at all of you. Think, God, this is awesome, man. All this in heaven too. But thirdly, praise blesses me as an individual. And as an individual, get a hold of the praise and the victory of praising God before you see the victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. I want to thank you, Lord, that they are not limited to what experience inside of these walls. They're not limited to the sound they hear on their CDs or their MP players, Lord. They are in totally independent of anybody else because we have a praising heart and we can touch you on our own. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters and I bless you for them in Jesus' name. Let's go out with it. One big praise God. Are you ready on three? As loud as you can, we'll have a big praise God. Hallelujah. One, two, three.